welcome to Black Money Talks podcast. Black Money Talks is a real talk about money. We cover mindsets, culture, belief system, success nuggets, breakthrough moments, disappointments, failure, money ideas, and building generational wealth. It's a deep dive session to educate, inspire, and empower you to grow and multiply your money. Grow from financial survival to financial stability to financial sustainability, from prosperity to prosperity. Join your host, Deji Nehan, as he takes you on life-transforming experiences to talk about money and how to make money work better for you. If you want to go from money disaster to money masters, your host, Deji Nehan, join him as he interviews champions, thought leaders, and change makers in their chosen fields who have created an enviable platform for success that we can all learn from. His mission is to make you live more wealthy, happier, and also have a fulfilled lifestyle.
Good morning, Mr. Akinwumi. How are you, Femi?
Good morning, Mr. Deji. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, sir. And I know this is Sunday morning, and I really appreciate you making up the time for that. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. I would allow you to introduce yourself quickly. So for people that don't know you, obviously not a lot of people would on my platform. So if you introduce yourself, and we can take it from there. For people that are listening for the first time, you're welcome. This is Black Money Talks, where we talk about generational wealth, especially in the Black community. We have a guest today that's going to share his own story and how he's building his wealth vehicle. So again, let's welcome Mr. Femi, and please can you introduce yourself, please?
Thank you very much, sir. My name is Femi Akinwumi. I live in the United Kingdom. I work as an appliance engineer. And that's all I do. So I believe all the questions will be starting up from there.
Okay, thank you. So appliance engineer, for those that might not know what that means, can you explain what sort of appliances you work with so that we have a better background of what that is about?
Okay, appliance engineering is repairing washing machine, dishwasher, fridge freezer, all white goods. Cookers, cooker hoods, you know, all the goods you can have in your kitchen and your laundry room. That's all we repair, and that's all we do.
Okay, thank you for that. So this is day-to-day, everyday appliances that we use in the home or in the office?
Yes, so mostly the ones...
There will be a lot in every home, and so people start thinking, oh, maybe I need a repair, I need an engineer. Okay, good stuff. So that's a good starting. This is not an usual thing that people would think about. And that's the main reason I wanted you to come and share your story. It's a fantastic story, and I really like it. So I wanted people to see things differently, and that's why I have you on board. Before we go into more depth about where you started from, your background, and all of those questions, I'd like to ask the first question, really. Some are born great, and this is a quote I like to know your view about. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and others have greatness thrust upon them. And the question is, what are you in any of this?
I think I would say I am in the mid-range. I have or had the opportunity to be raised in an environment whereby you'll be handy. And you will be able to, without, you know, having a secular job, you'll be able to create a job yourself. When I was small, my father was a trader, but he was more of a handy person. He was repairing motorcycles and he was selling them. So they did more of repair. And we will be looking at that, and eventually we started other companies that were into kind of repairing, you know, servicing before you know, actually getting into the end product of the whatever we're doing. So at that time we had the opportunity of, you know, understanding how engineering was. So coming back to UK, it was easy for us to just look at what we would think will be of benefit. So we just decided on appliance repairs, and it was just easy. We went into it. It's like, you know your mathematics, you can use your mathematics anywhere. You can use it, you can use that in any field, any organization. That's how it worked for us.
Okay, thank you for sharing a bit of that background. So I like to understand my guest's background, and it helps people to be able to follow the story better. You've given us some insights into that. I'd like you to go back a bit into when you were younger. I've gotten the fact that your father has a big impact into what you have today in terms of he was Andy, and you saw him doing Andy stuff, repairing machines, motorcycle and that stuff. Give me a big background into you as a younger person. Maybe how many kids were you? I want to ask that question because it's relevant to your story. And also, did you go to school or you just started with appliances without going to school or anything? So that would be a good background.
No, my father was just technical. He was so handy. He would look, whenever he sees something new, he sits down and says, oh, how was this fabricated? Then he will start looking at it one by one. See, for example, like an engine of a car. He will see what the crankshaft is, what the pistons are, how can we repair this? How can we add? He was almost building a car. He built almost a small truck. And eventually, along the businesses he had, we had a pure water company. And from the scratch pure water company, he almost built a vehicle to transport the water. We built the factory, we built the plumbing side. So whenever our pumping machines went bad, we would be the one recoiling, repairing them. We'll be the one repairing the trucks. We'll be the one, because it was just handy and there was no how without going to school. I didn't know anything about physics. I didn't even do science. I just knew that this will work if this works like that. So we were just like calculating. I don't know how we got that knowledge, but I don't know how it was, you know, impacted on us as well. But that has been and has been following us all the while until today.
So I have, the other question I asked is, how many are you in your family? I know you work with your family.
Okay, sorry if I digress.
What level of education did you guys get to?
Okay, in Nigeria, we all finished universities, and we are three boys. I have a sister as well, but my sister was not into engineering. It was not. My immediate brother did petroleum engineering. I did accounting, and the youngest one did business management. So none of them, the middle one did engineering. Fine, but we were all, even if he did not do the engineering, we would have had the same experience because we all were with our father looking at what he was doing and tapping into the knowledge, and he was making sure we were there. And I didn't know why he was making sure we were there. We just found ourselves next to him, bringing things down, putting them back together.
So that's why I wanted to know that background. So the reason I asked that question was, we've spoken before, and I know the first time we met was you looking to get into the corporate world, to do maybe business analysis, project management, and you wanted somebody to give you some insight and some mentorship. So that's where we met. I know you went for some courses and stuff, but
yes,
now that you, I mean, with your business, do you regret not getting into the corporate world?
No, absolutely no. I really thank God I did not get an opportunity there, because you know, when you work and you're happy with what you're doing, it is just like, I don't know what I can compare this engineering to. I can't wait for the next day to come. It's like, you know, you don't know what you're going to meet, and you confident that you're going to be solving people's problems even without knowing what the problems are. So you, every day you go to work is like a blessed day. You're not bored. You can work and work and work and work. You don't want to stop. So, and also being the fact that you're the owner of the company and you can dictate, you can direct the company into the channel you want it to go, coupled with that, you know, it makes it a lot easy. And, you know, it helps you a lot rather than working for someone or in the project environment.
Okay, thank you. And I know your level of business and I know what you've achieved. But something I know is there's no overnight success. And it will be useful for us to know and so that we can learn. What was that like for you? What was the transition? We know that you were almost getting into the corporate world. What was the transition for you to from your thinking before you then went, okay, now you want to put your energy within a line of engineering? Did you start off as appliance engineering or is that something else? What was the light bulb moment for you to think, okay, you know what? I'm in the UK. I want to use the knowledge I have previously to start making money. What was the light bulb moment for you? Because I know things are just not happening.
Okay, thank you.
It takes time to build the level of success that most people achieve. So what was that like for you?
Okay, I think on the question you asked me, you will be the one to stop me when you think you have had enough answers. Okay. Because it will be kind of a long story.
All right, give us the short version then.
We decided to come to UK believing that, you know, you will just find a way out in UK. And my youngest one went first, I went the second, and the middle one, you know, followed. And remember, in those times when we were looking for papers, there were tier one, tier two, tier three work permit, all those stuffs. Yeah. And we did not have any route than to go into those tiers. So we chose tier one. And we knew that if you had a MSc in any course, you'd be able to have a 1 year work permit. And if you get a job, you can then get your full permit. So we chose that route. So that forced us into having, all of us having MSCs. So we thought having that 1 year looking for a job, then you get a regularized, you know, papers. But along that line, whilst we were looking for jobs and, you know, going for interview, project management interview, for example, when I went there, they was, oh yeah, I think we like you. We want to give you a go, but you have limited time to work. They will see 1 year, they will see 2 year work permit. They didn't see indefinite. So I didn't get to the final stage because of my papers. So the same thing was applying to my immediate brother because we were not far away from each other in terms of age. So we then sat and decided, look, how long can we be looking for jobs for? Can't we, whoever is employing us, can't we see what is tapping to? Can't we see what is seen and create a hope to look like also we can employ? Then what we will do is that we will look as if we can also employ, but we will be the employee. So let us, because on our website, it doesn't show that it is a black black company. It shows like appliance company. It is until we get to the step, to the doorstep, then they say, oh, well, oh, it's a black engineer, believing he's working for a white guy or believing he's working for a millionaire. But that, well, we know we are the directors and at the same time, we are the engineer. So we decided to find a balance, a way of setting up a company, and we will be the employees, or at the same time, we will find it the time to direct the company. So that is how we found jobs for ourselves. So without telling you the details of how that went, I don't know whether that's answered your question.
Yeah, that did answer my question. Thank you for that. So, I mean, with the difficulty of getting a job based on your permit status in the UK, you decided to create a job for yourself. And that's what you're living with now. So, thank you for sharing that. Thank you really so much. So you've talked about your brother a bit and stuff. I want people to, if you could share how you guys started and what did you guys do individually and as a group? And I wanted to get into your living accommodation as well, how you guys started from scratch. So that's something I wanted to get to the foundation of that. That would be useful to know, sir.
That it's not very common, because we have support relationship between three of us. Before we all got married, we knew that we had something in common. We were very close, but there was no day we wouldn't find time to meet each other. So then my youngest one that came here first welcomed me into UK. So I was living with him. Whilst I was living with him, the middle one came and also was living with two of us. And we knew that, oh, guys, we'll be getting married. What do? We now made sure that we spoke to our potential wives that, look, we kind of have a relationship here. Will you be able to buy into this relationship? We think we have a future. We didn't know what we're doing, but we knew that something good that was going to come out. Please, there is a mission. Bear with us. In UK, you can't just go and say you buy a house. You need a deposit. You can't just go and say you have a property. We all were students. We all were coming out of permits. We were not rich. Can you, manage with us in a single building of maybe three or four bedrooms, and all of us kind of do a sharing, to get us out of this turbulent period before we start having our houses individually? Luckily, three of them bought into the idea, and two of them at the moment are working in our company, TR. So they really are bearing the idea, and that's how we started.
Thank you for that. So you guys had a mission in mind, and you were ready to get buying into that mission, purely from your spouse, even if you were not married.
Yes.
So, and you started sharing. Our sharing in the UK is not an uncommon thing, but what is uncommon is for three different adults that are possibly of marriageable age, one family coming together thinking,
yeah,
we're going to save money doing that. We're going to be able to work better as a partnership, as against individual going out on their own and building their own stuff. So you all stayed together, and even your partners were involved in the business, and they
at the initial stage. So when we were comfortable to get in the first property, we got the first one. We were comfortable to get the second one, we got the second one. And at that stage, we started, going, because we were having children as well. So it was easy for one of us to go into another property we bought, and so on like that.
Okay. Talking about the property, did you buy this property all money together? Were you all on the mortgage together, or what was the structure like?
Yeah, because we had this partnership. We knew that whatever we're buying, it is all in our name. So we had an agreement that we're doing everything together. The sharing formula is 33%. So there's no age. You're older than me. No, I am the eldest, and I knew that if I want to go far, I will have to come down to their level to meet up with them, and we can shoot further. So that's how we did it.
Okay, that's a very good idea. So one other thing come to mind. So we've talked about how you guys started, how you pulled resources together, you started buying property and stuff. Could you tell us a bit more about your business, how busy you are? Because I know it took us some time to be able to get this meeting going. I know you're busy, daytime, evening time and stuff. Your business has grown really well. I know it's only because of lockdown that you're having some time now on a Sunday. So maybe it's a good thing for lockdown happening there. So could you tell us a bit more about where is your business now? And I know you said you started as the director and as the engineer. Where is it right now? And in terms of capacity of things do you do? What level of businesses do you deal with? What type of contracts do you work on?
Okay. Because the mode is the same thing. Whatever appliances you're working on are the same appliances. As they're making them new, you're just knowing them, you're repairing them. Nowadays, we are comfortable not to spend money on adverts again. In the beginning, we were spending around £3,000 to £4,000 a month on adverts, but now maybe around £500 a month on advert, and we still see leads of jobs coming in. Now we have big Latin companies in Southwest looking to, you know, use us as the appliances engineer, like Acorn, like, you know, loads of them. They're there, you know, they've been with us for 5 years and they haven't left, and they're the biggest in the Southwest. So with us having that, it gave us an opportunity to cut the advert cost down. So it looks pretty good now. So the next level we're looking into is getting people into working along with us. We have tried that opportunity, but there is something mentally not right in our Nigerian sector, because we try to be biased, looking for our people to, you know, to help your people first. I don't know how and why we decided to do that. So, but because we are so trained up, we have quality control, quality level that we cannot let anybody destroy a big reputation. When we train you, we then let you go to because you are hotcakes to the way. Any big company, Domex will take you, British Gas will take you as soon as we train you. Go there first. Then whatever they pay you, we can then match it up, because we know that you'll have had experience. You have had great knowledge of how to do it. Then come back, come and dictate to us what you want to get. As long as there's a profit margin left for the company, we are happy to take you on board. But initially, what we wanted to do was to train people, then get vans for them and put them on the payroll and then start work. But some of them, the naughty ones of them, will say, no. Femi, I don't want to work like this. I just want to be as rich as you are. And then we tell them, look, we started so small. We started exactly the way you're starting. What is the starting pay of an engineer outside? Maybe around 21,000. A top engineer would be around 40,000. But you'll be on the 40,000 student. We have to start from the 21. Okay, so we just decided to teach them, train them, let them go, see what is outside, then come back, be the professional, come back, and let us work together. That's how we do now.
That's a fantastic thing. So on this podcast, we are so keen on generational wealth. And I'll let you tell, it's not the money you leave to others. It's the skill set, the mindset, and you are able to pass on to them. So you're doing something fantastic. I mean, training people to have skills that they can make use of, and the skills that I can turn into business, as you guys have done. Nothing is stopping anybody. And that's why we have this podcast. Nothing is stopping anybody from achieving what you have achieved. If correct, they have yes. The skill set and they have the mindset, because skill set yes. Is one thing, the mindset is different. So we can see where your mindset is coming from and how you guys have worked on that. So it's a fantastic thing, and I really appreciate that happening. If there are people that maybe they just want to be in that position, what's the best way for them to start? I know at the end of this, we would put in the show notes your company details and stuff for people to reach out to you. But what would you advise someone that is wanting to start that similar stuff, starting a business, maybe just appliance engineering, and want to grow further in that?
Okay. What I would advise people to do is this, because we were just spot on what we decided to do, because we had three brains thinking together and we were making sure we got it right. And the first instance is not to have any overheads as much as you can. Now make sure you can start from your rented apartment as your office. Thank God it works out like that in UK. You can use your house as a company address, so you don't spend money on any, you know, any place to be rented for your office. Number two, you can start with your car. You can still use your car to get your tools. The only tools that an engineer needs is a box. There's a box and a file. Those are the things you need. It fits, whatever you need fits into a toolbox. So you don't need a big car to get the job done. So you don't need to buy your van immediately. So you can start with your car. As soon as you see the business grows, then you can then look for a van to do your job. We didn't start with brand new vans. We started with 1,800 each van, about three of them. And when we knew that there's prospect, and when we saw a light at the end of the tunnel, we then decided to buy new vans, and we launched out from, you know, in a bigger way. So you should do a risk analysis, see the end, kind of check the waters and see that you have a chance before you, you know, spend money and time. And luckily, what we did is that we looked into this business and we found that it was not capital intensive. It wasn't going to need any capital at all. It was just going to need you to understand how the job, you know, is, how you can repair appliance. And we did not have any knowledge, any prior knowledge. What we did is that we just go online, found in those days there were CDs, DVDs that you could buy from professionals, and we sat down, we were watching, and we took all the wash appliances in our house, we split down, we coupled them back, split down, coupled them back, all our washing machine, our dishwasher, fridge, freezer, we'll bring everything down to understand all the parts, we'll couple them back. So we use our appliances to train in the house, and that is how we size slowly. And we didn't spend too much on the advert. We're just using leaflets. We're walking around our street. We walked miles and miles and miles because we were doing nothing. So we can go over 3, 4, 5 streets. Then somebody will call you that, oh, our appliance is actually broken. Then we'll go there. We get it fixed. Slowly we realize that we can make way. Then we then luckily found out Google analysis, Google adverts. That is why one of us, my immediate one, is good on in IT. So he's the one that does the Google analysis, Google advert for us. So that's how we didn't spend any money, we didn't spend any capital to get the job done. So I would advise anybody who wants to do it to go along the line. So if anything does not go well, you have nothing to lose, almost zero to lose.
Thank you very much for sharing that. So what you've said rightly is, I mean, what an engineer needs is just a toolbox, and that does not cost you a lot of money.
That's it.
You can use the appliances in your house to start learning from that. You can start doing flyer dropping. That means walking around and dropping flyers on the door.
Exactly.
And this is quite usual thing, especially for businesses like services like yours that has things to do within the household. Because a lot of times you see companies drop maybe like guttering company stuff. They drop window washing company. They drop leaflets in your house. So that's a very common thing to do. So that's not going to cost you a lot of money to start. So that is a fantastic idea in terms of starting. So you mentioned in terms of your advertisement, now you don't do much. You've been able to get contract with the big players within the letting agency. Before then, for people that are starting their business, let's move to the level they've validated that they can do the repairs. And this doesn't have to be repairs. We're only using repairs in this instance. They validated that the business is a good business. That means they've learned with the minimum resources. You bought an online CD, so you put in money in your own education. And as they always say, the best investment is investing in yourself. And now you can see the dividend of that manifold, because you bought a DVD and you are able to learn from that. You are able to build a business from just a DVD that you bought online. So that is a very fantastic way to summarize this. So moving to the next level, and I know you've mentioned this briefly. So you continue dropping leaflets. Then you said, okay, this is a valid business. We have prospects on this. You've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. What did you then do next? You've talked about your younger brother having the knowledge on IT and then learning on Google advertisement. You mentioned that you spent $3,000 as well monthly. How did that all go? Because a lot of businesses do not want to spend money doing advertisement. So how did that go? Did you have any limitation in terms of the need to spend $3,000? Did you start spending $3,000 from a go, or did you build up into that? And what would you advise someone that is moving from the level of leaflet dropping, talking to friends and family? What would you advise they do next in terms of advertisement?
Okay. Yes, we didn't jump into £3,000 straight away. It was a slow build up and we were doing it slowly, actually. Yeah, so what happens about Google analysis and Google adverts is this. Because you're new into the, you're like a new entrant, Google does not trust you straight away. And they want to test you. They want to see that you are reputable and you know what you're doing. So it costs a lot. For example, now maybe per click for us, it may be costing maybe 10 Any new entrant, it may be costing around £5 for the same click that will cost us 10p. Now, if we shut our advert down now, Google still displays us because they trust us. They know that these people know what they're doing. So without even paying them, they are advertising us. But a new entrant wants to be at the top three, 1, 2, 3, because they want to be clicked and they want to get leads. So Google will charge them a lot. And the review side of is done. The review side of the jobs done will be displayed. And Google will see the review and they'll say, okay, they're reliable. We can statically.
You're cutting off the beat. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you cut out a bit when you talked about the, after a while, Google would trust you and it will be...
Oh, okay. Can I start from there?
Yes.
Okay, after a while, when you are reliable and Google uses you and they see reviews and they see that you're dependable, then they start cutting down what you pay per click. They now see that they can now trust you, because Google also is looking for somebody, whoever they display, to get the job done straight away and without hassles. So whatever would have cost you £5 now will now start going down to £4.98. So £4.90. So it was very expensive per click for us in the beginning. And we knew that we're going to be having heavy costs because we saw all the players in our round, in our locality. We saw the players that were big companies that we were competing with. And what they would be paying in those times would be pennies. Well, we'll be paying pounds for the click. So for each click, you want to maximize as much as possible. So gradually, when they start dropping, then you have enough leads. At the moment, we don't switch our Google on, and they still call us. They will still say they see us from Google. That means there's a negative charge. That means Google is benefiting from us without charging us, and we'll be having the leads again from Google. But this is built, I think, over 10 years. We're now in this game for 10 years now. But it's a slow process. It wasn't 3,000 at a go.
All right. Thank you. So for people that are listening there would want to know, I mean, it's worthwhile learning how marketing works, advertising works. I mean, they say Google runs the world some way or the other. So it would be very valuable time spending to learn how Google works. And one trick really that I learned personally is the reviews. The more reviews you have, the better your chances of being listed on the top. In your case, how were you able to build those reviews? Was that something you know beforehand, or it was just something you got to afterwards?
Because the skill we acquired back in Nigeria was so much. Appliance repairs is like a peanut to the skill we had in Nigeria in terms of engineering. And coupled with the fact that we three of us had BS, MSc in business management. So we know how business is meant to be run. And we know the engineering side. So three of us, it was so easy for us. We have common goal, common understanding. It's easy for us to have our meetings and have the same direction. It was that easy. So we could then fashion a way of, you know, finding a cheaper advert, how to manage the advert to getting the better results.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. One thing in life is not everything always goes the way we plan. In your situation, that's including your relationship with your other partners, according to partners, even if they are your brothers, Has there been any setback that you experienced that has been detrimental to your personal business relationship, or how anything you've experienced as a group, any failure, any setback has kind of affected your business and what you learned from that?
Okay. If I say there is none, it will look as if I'm lying. But there is actually none. But what I can say that can amount to setback is that maybe we would have covered, for example, if it is a race, let's say we are at 33 kilometers per hour, I've been at 22 kilometers per hour. Maybe the difference between 66 and 33, which is 33, would have been the extra gain we would have had had the business gone the other way, or the how I wish it should go, or how another director wishes it should go. So, but because we have not actually tested the game, we can't say it is a setback. I can't say because I have a business idea and we are not embarking on it, but the profit that would have had then would have amounted to a setback. So it is decision making. We are a bit slow in decision making because we want to make sure that we all agree into the same idea before we embark on that journey. So if I see something viable and I see it alone, I have to explain, analyze, critically look into it, back everything up by information before they can all, both of them can buy into it. And same goes with them. So if you can't justify whatever idea you have and you think it's viable, sorry, my friend, it goes nowhere with us. We just stay at where we are. So if that is a setback, I can say, yes, that's a setback. But it's, I don't know any other setback that we encountered.
Okay, that's good. And one thing, looking at the future, you said, I mean, from what you know previously from Nigeria, appliances engineering is just one minute part of what you could actually do. Is there any plan in the future to go into other area of engineering or other business that you know that definitely we've got this covered? You've been in business for 10 years, you beat it from nothing, dropping leaflets, and you have a story to tell on that. What would be the future? Are there things that you feel like now we are one of the big players in our area? I know you've gone into London, Kent, and Essex, so you have a lot of more coverage in terms of where you reach, where your business reach. What will be the next thing for you? What other things you think? We've got skills in this. Would we be able to go into that? Or you would want to keep it where it is and solidify that? And the big question I want to ask is, how do you transfer this to just a business between yourself, a good business, but how do you transfer that to the next generation? How would you create that succession going forward?
Okay, what we will do and what we're planning to do and we like to do is this, because we have made it like a family unit, family business, and we are so much dependent on those who review. Any negative review gives us a setback, so we kind of careful. What we want to do is, because considering our ages as well, we are not getting younger and we might not be able to get under the washing machine, you know, dishwasher as easily as we used to do 10 years ago. So we know that the platform, the company we have, as reputable as it is, we know that we will then put some add-ons like plumbing, like gas, you know, boilers. We put another platform and we find people who know how to do them, and they'll be using the platform to get leads and they'll be making their money, and we'll be making some, you know, element of profit as well. So we can widen the cost when when the legs are tired. We look for quality engineers and we're passing the jobs into them, and we'll be doing the administrative part of jobs, and we'll get wider. We can then think of covering the maybe it's the downside of UK. That's what we project.
That's a fantastic idea, because I mean, like you would understand, people that are having issues with their appliances are most likely the same people or type of people that would need plumbing, that would need to check their boiler, and those you already have a relationship with them already.
In addition to that, because we have built over 10, 12 years business on appliance repairs. Now, whatever we then had on, if you had boiler, if you add plumbing, if you add electrics, if we add whatever we had, which is handy, will benefit into those years of, you know, of experience. And yes, so there'll be a good platform to make money from.
That's very true, sir. And I, that's a very good idea. So I know we've been on for 50 minutes and it feels like we've only been speaking for 10 minutes.
Oh.
That really means this has been an enjoyable episode. I know you're very
thank busy. You for I, having me.
I hope you're a very busy man. But I like to ask maybe a few questions, maybe just quick round questions just to see. And you mentioned, this is Black-based podcast, and you mentioned a lot of your businesses, you're not focused on the Black community. I know things have changed in the last year for Black businesses. A lot of people are using that as a leverage. Do you see a gap in that? One, helping other Black people to maybe start a business like this, which is something you've started. But two, exposing yourself more within the Black community for the Black people to know that this is a Black-run business and they can get inspiration from there. And just as well, they can do business with you. Is there anything in the plan that you are looking to towards that?
Speaking with you is an opportunity. So I would rather say you're now making me think on that line. So whatever you think is however you think I can be of help for other Black, community members, then it's a thing to do. But that was not what we were doing. Was just to train people up, and they were predominantly Black guys. We train them up and they get the jobs out there, and they now have wealth of experience. Because what they were coming for initially was just to get employed. They didn't think of owning a company. They didn't think of having the business. Maybe when they have it for 10 years, they will start thinking along that line. But all the people that came across with us, they came to us, would be like, I want to get employed. I want to have your skill. I want to start doing engineering and appliances. Then we train them up. Then they go on other companies to work. And whenever they want to come back, they can come back as subcontractors. And, they can just, so it's something we can do more if you think it will help the Black community that you know.
Yeah, definitely. We can work on that. I believe the reason why we have something like this is to share more awareness, share more knowledge that a lot more Black people would do things. It's on record that within the Black community, we spend maybe about $300 billion. I don't know if that is just UK only or US included or the world or something, but that is a lot of economic power that we are not leveraging on within our community. So a lot of people would do businesses with the other community and not the Black community. So part of this is to encourage people to do businesses with other Black people. And I hope that when people see you on, and we'll leave all your details in the show notes, that could be another avenue for generating business, for generating leads. I've been able to tap into the Black community recently as well. So that's I would say it's working fantastic. So I would always encourage anyone to look into that area of business. That would make a big difference. So thank you for sharing that. I'm sure we would have some collaboration. I'm sure people will reach out to you. They want to learn. But you mentioned something quickly, and I wanted us to close on that before you give us your insight. You said maybe some people came in to look for work. They were not thinking about the business. As you said, mindset is everything. When do you think people should start thinking about business and not just about what they can get in terms of salary or income? Do that start from the planning stage for you to think, okay, I want to acquire the skills, but I want to build something substantial out of this? What would you advise in that regard?
I think based on experience, because we have already worked in this country for people, and you just kind of get tired, and that will change your mentality. Look, what has my boss got that I cannot get? That can only come with experience. So, and there are different ways of people, you know, having turnaround, change of situation, and they would then think of, look, I want to be, and people might have enough skills and they might think, look, let me start something. It depends, but I would suggest whenever somebody's starting that, they should speak to the people in the business already to see that if they are ready or not. Otherwise, instead of, you know, wasting their time and capital and going back to square one, the advice they get from the people in the field already can be, you know, leverage for them to starting up a business.
Thank you very much. And the last one will be for you to give us your last nugget. But for me, a lot of things that we've learned from this is quite important. You started from nothing. You had some skills. You built yourself up by investing and learning into this. You've not only built a business for yourself as an individual, you've been able to build collaboration into this as a family unit. So three brothers coming together and building a sustainable business, where yes. Now you are one of the go-to persons when they think about appliances engineering within yeah. your area of influence. So that's quite a pronounced thing for me. You've gone ahead to be able to build a property portfolio on that. And yeah. So many things you've done. You've trained others to be able to leverage on. So you've done quite a lot of things that you possibly have not imagined when you started off. And maybe you haven't thought of that as well. So that's been a fantastic thing. And we just want to say thank you as a community for doing that. Just thank to round you. This up, I mean, what nuggets would you want to leave us with? Either something that you feel will be beneficial to the Black community, or something that you feel like this is one key message you want to leave with people. I would allow you to share that, sir. And if it's okay, I would add some of your details, maybe anywhere people can reach out to you. We'll add it on the show notes so that people can reach out to you or something.
That is my problem.
So please, so just give us your last nugget. I know you've shared so many things today, but just give us something to part with, to go away with.
Okay, thank you. I can't believe I won't be able to find anything to say on this. Okay, what I can suggest is this. Whenever you're starting up a business, especially there is a likelihood of having a traffic of the same color background. For example, Nigerians, buying from Nigerians. Try to stamp your foot on the ground and make sure whatever you want to be in the future, you start from now. Charity begins at home. Make sure you stay firm and get a policy on ground, and you don't let it, shake. Stand on that policy, and it will help you. People will understand you for who you are, for your business model, and for the business type, and they will eventually buy into it. But initially, they may say, "What is it? What is it? Isn't it Nigerian business?" Don't worry, don't worry. They will eventually understand that business are run independently from the owners, and they will buy into it. I think I can give.
That's
out.
A fantastic giveaway for her. So start with the end in mind and have the policy in place and make sure you maintain that policy. Friends yes. or family inclusive. And that would mean yes. you are building a sustainable business.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. It's a good way to end on that. We'd love to chat with you more. I know you still have a lot to share. There's so many things we've not covered. But at this point, let's say thank you. It's a valuable section. And I know people would... gain from this, people will reach out to you and help. Hope you can provide the time. I know you're busy.
Yeah, we will do that. Not a problem.
Thank you very much,
sir. Have a good
day. Enjoy speaking with you, sir.
Bye bye.
Bye, sir.
Now that you've enjoyed the Black Money Talks podcast, what are you going to do differently? Remember, dreams without actions leads to frustrations. Decisions decide destiny. Make your decision count now. Be the game changer. Make the shift. The world will celebrate you. Join our community to connect with other game changers, build your network and your net worth together. Subscribe so you don't miss out on a life-changing episode. Lastly, live more wealthy, happier and a fulfilled lifestyle. Leave your mark on this world. Leave your legacy. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe and join your host, DJ Nahum, on the next podcast. Don't miss out.